Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to worship. My name is Amanda Atkin. I'm the Associate Minister of Faith Formation here, and it is a delight to worship with you this morning. There are blue notebooks in the pews, and those are our friendship registers. I hope that you will take those, fill them in, and pass them up and down the pews. It's a way to get to know those who are worshiping around you. Also, inside that little notebook is a connection card. If you're a guest this morning with us, we are delighted that you are here. We want to know a little bit more about you. We hope that you will take an opportunity to fill out this card, put it in the offering plate a little bit later in the service. This is a good way for you to request information about Greystone, our ministries, and our missions, a good way to get to know a little bit more about the church and get the information you need. For everyone, on the back of that card is a way for you to share prayer requests with the church, and so please stay connected. As we enter into a time of worship, it is my delight to be with you this morning and to welcome you.
Please join me in a responsive reading. You commanded us to gather in your name.
And here we are.
You promised us the Spirit would be present and guide us into all truth.
And here we are.
You named us your body, your hands and feet, heart and voice.
And here we are.
You tell us to learn more of your teaching, to obey and to live your life.
And here we go.
Our opening hymn says, "All that has life and breath, come now with praises." So that is all required this morning, to give praise. If you are breathing, then you are part of that. And I hope we can all offer a voice of praise together. Can we stand as we sing praise to the Lord, the Almighty? To the Lord.
Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of creation. All that praise, for He is thy help and salvation. All ye who hear, now to His temple draw
forever adore Him. God's people said, amen. Let's share a prayer together. Would you close your eyes? Almighty God, from the time you fashioned the heavens and the earth from its formless void, your creative energy was doing marvelous works all around us. May your creative spirit be at work in our hearts and in our minds today as we worship you. And always may we strive to live by the values of heaven, even here on earth. That's our prayer this morning. Amen. Let's continue to sing. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. And all the church sing. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I'll worship Your holy name. You're
good morning. How are all of you?
The Bible passage that's going to be read later this morning is sometimes called the Great Commission. Does anyone know what a commission is? It's kind of a grown-up word. A commission can be a command to act in a certain way or to perform a certain task on the behalf of someone else. A person might commission an artist to paint a picture, so the artist would paint the picture and give it to that person. In Matthew 28, Jesus commissions his 11 disciples, and Jesus tells them to go to all people everywhere and make them my disciples. A disciple is someone who follows Jesus, and Jesus wanted these 11 men to tell everyone about him. Jesus also said to baptize those new disciples in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to obey everything that Jesus had told them. And Jesus wanted these new disciples to learn everything that he had been teaching. The 11 disciples would be able to do this because Jesus would be them forever. Even though he went back up to heaven, his Spirit would be with them. And even today, Jesus has commissioned us to go and make disciples. Sometimes we think about sending people to other countries to tell people about Jesus. And we've had some people from our church to go to other countries. And some people go to other states. In a few weeks, I'm going to Arkansas and tell children about Jesus. And the people in our group will be helping people there. And then there are places right here in North Carolina. The youth and adults this week in our church are going to, they're going to go stay in Red Springs. And I think they're actually going to work in Lumberton. And they're going to help people who have had problems with flooding. And they're going to show Jesus' love to those people. And some people take the love of Jesus right in their own city, like reading with children at Cedar Point or working at the clothing closet downtown. And then some people make disciples right here at Greystone. Did you know that your Sunday school teachers are helping to make disciples by teaching you about Jesus? And the people who teach the youth and teach the adults are helping make disciples too. And then when you become a disciple, then you will go out and you will help to make disciples. So because Jesus told those first 11 men to make disciples, people are still making disciples today. And later on, at the end of the service today, we're going to sing a song. And in that song, there's a line that says, "I'll go wherever you lead me." So we can remember that God might send us somewhere far away to make disciples, or he might want us to do it in our own church or in our own home. Let's pray together. Thank you, God, for the disciples that you sent out to teach people about you. Help us as we become disciples to share your love and the things that you taught us with the people we meet. Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you who created the heavens and the earth and all that has life and breath, we pray that your spirit of creation would continue to move throughout this church, that we might be renewed and reformed. Help us to be less of who we are and more of who we ought to be. We are grateful for the gift of the Holy Spirit, which remains in our presence, nudging us to the places and to the people who are loved by you, even when they might so easily be neglected by the world. May the boldness and willingness of our Lord Jesus go with us as we follow you in loving service of all children of God. Prince of Peace, you have promised that the kingdom of God is near. Help us to be agents of your peace, even here in Raleigh, North Carolina. We pray for all those who work to provide housing for those who need it, for all those who work to resist racism, for all who help to provide fruitful employment, all who strive to provide safe schools and places of training and learning, all who develop artistic gifts, all who patiently and compassionately provide health care, all who provide spiritual care, and all who bravely minister to refugees, and for those who bear witness to your love for us in Jesus Christ in all that they are and in all that they do. May we, like heaven, be your agents of peace and renewal, so that all your children will flourish and glorify you. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Brothers and sisters, may we commit ourselves to the leadership of the shepherd. Let's stand and sing.
Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures, feed us. For our use, thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, blessed Jesus, thou hast won.
May we continue in prayer. Dearest Lord, in the beauty and the bliss of your creation and recreation of this thy world, you bring us to being as a part of who you are. And with that, Lord, you give us the opportunity to love as you love. Touch our very hearts and hands and spirits to know the joy of giving as you have given. And as you bless these gifts as only you can, may they travel to Argentina, to Arkansas, to Red Springs, to Raleigh, to wherever you would have them to go, given through our hands, your spirit, and most of all, your blessing. In your most beautiful and holy name we pray. Amen.
God, the source of everything. Praise God, the Son, our Lord and King. Praise God, the Holy Spirit near. We
Matthew 28:16-20. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had directed them. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And remember, I am always with you to the end of the age." May God add understanding to the reading of this lesson.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Aiden. For the last few days and weeks, Students all over the country have sat donning mortar boards and gowns as they listen to graduation speeches. In fact, there are graduations happening in Wake County as we sit here this morning. High school seniors are moving on from one phase of life to the next. They are moving from the comforts of home to the confines of a tiny dorm room, to life with less rules, but more responsibility, less predictability, but more self-reliance. And new friends and new experiences are on the horizon. While their emotions run the gamut of excited to scared and doubtful to proud, the words that they hear in these graduation speeches are full of encouragement. They're full of hope, and they're full of guidance. A month ago, it was our college students who dutifully sat and listened to the well-chosen words that were written to guide them and to give them something to hold on to as the next stage of their journey begins. The college graduates are a bit older, perhaps wiser. At the very least, they have a little more life experience under their belts. But they too have minds that race with hope that is tempered by doubt. The excitement of their first real job is balanced by the fear of what that new job will hold and how they will handle all that comes with being an adult. The whole idea of moving to the next phase of life might be exhilarating, intimidating, exciting, and nerve-wracking all at the same time. In some ways, this is where we find our disciples today. They're not graduating, of course, but they were smack in the middle of one of the biggest transitions they could possibly face. While graduates spend years preparing for the day that they will sit and listen to the speech that they may or may not remember a few years later, the disciples didn't have quite the same preparation. They had been by Jesus' side for years, watching, learning, and participating in his ministry, but nothing could prepare them for this day and for the heartfelt speech that they were about to hear. This wasn't necessarily an anticipated event for them. They had been told time and time again that their Lord would die and rise again, yet they were never quite sure what to make of these words. There are no words that can adequately prepare you for what the disciples experienced. Just a few short days ago, their master and Lord was crucified before them. Their hearts had to be heavy with grief. Their minds were most certainly filled with fear, and their souls were filled with doubt and a longing to hear his voice just one more time. I can only imagine that they were at a bit of a loss as to what to do next. So whether Mary and the other women found the disciples back on their boats, or hiding in fear, or lost in grief, or wandering a dirt path, bewildered at what the last few days had brought them, each of them, upon hearing the message that these women delivered, hurried to Galilee to see and to hear what would come next. And there, on that mountain in Galilee, we hear the world's shortest graduation speech. Of course, the disciples were not graduating from any sort of school, but they were transitioning from one phase of life to the next. Soon, Jesus would ascend into heaven, and they would have to figure out how to do life on earth without their friend, their teacher, and their Savior by their side. In a sense, they were about to graduate from being student to being teacher. And like any good teacher, Jesus can't leave without imparting a few words of wisdom. And like any good graduation speech, his words challenge them to keep going, to continue the work that they have begun, and to remind them that this is not the end, but a new beginning. As they listened, their minds swirled with disbelief, with fear, and with doubt. But somehow they found the courage and the strength to listen. His address to his followers is short, but it's packed full of intention, instruction, and assurance. Jesus is intentional when he reminds them that he is not only God's Son, but the very presence of God on earth. And he tells them that all authority in heaven has been given to him. He gives them instructions for the future. and then assures them that they will not be alone. It's quite a mighty message packed into just a few sentences. Now, honestly, I can't tell you a single thing about any of my own graduation speeches, and I've sat through at least four of them. At the time, I'm sure they meant something, but now all of those speeches are distant, fuzzy memories. But of course, my speeches were not from the mouth of Jesus himself. His words are everlasting and were meant for more than just the 11 who were there that day. His words were instructions to those 11 and a gift for us all. What greater gift can we be given than the encouragement to share the love of God with our world? Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. In a few days, 33 youth and adults will leave from here and go to Red Springs, North Carolina for this summer's mission trip. While there, they will do construction work as part of flood relief. They'll prepare and serve dinner at a soup kitchen, and they hope to deliver ice cream and play with children who are living at a shelter for families in need. A few weeks after that, a team of 6 will leave for rural Arkansas, a trip that Greystone has been making for 13 years. Over the course of time, 44 individuals have made that trip at least once. In Arkansas, teams have repaired the floor of a church, built ramps, made home repairs, and poured concrete for a new playground. They've ministered to children through reading and swim camps. They've participated in a blessings ministry that includes everything from baking cookies for local law enforcement to visiting shut-ins. The people of Greystone have gone to the mountains of North Carolina. They've gone to Georgia, to South Carolina, to Connecticut, to Baltimore, and to New York, and other places here in the U.S. They've even gone to what some might consider the ends of the earth, that they've traveled to Belize and to Prague and to the Ukraine and to other faraway places. Each time, Greystone has taken the message of God's love with them. Each and every trip was an opportunity to introduce God to someone who had never heard of this kind of love before. This is part of living out the Great Commission. The heart of Jesus' instructions to the disciples isn't in the going, but in the making of disciples. Dr. Seuss's book, Oh, the Places You'll Go, is a popular graduation gift. From kindergarten graduates to high school and college seniors, this book is a treasured gift. As Dr. Seuss, in his whimsical rhyming verse, spins tales of journeys in life yet to be had, the title suggests that the destinations ahead are the crux of the story. But just a few pages in, it's easy to realize that the lessons learned along the way are far more important than the destinations themselves. Such is the case with Jesus' directions to his disciples. Making disciples is Jesus' primary directive. The going is just part of the means to doing so. Go doesn't always mean mission trips to far-off lands or dedicating your life to be a missionary in another country. Sometimes, go means down the street or around the corner. Every week during the school year, you'll find a group of Greystone volunteers helping refugee children with their homework at the Cedar Point apartment complex. Once a month, you'll find one of our Sunday school classes preparing dinner at the Siku House in Durham. Yesterday, our campus was filled with the laughter of children as we hosted our Buddy Break VIPs in their annual Water Day. These folks didn't go very far, but they are still making disciples in all that they do. Sometimes, go simply means down the hall or perhaps down the stairs. Each week, you go and make disciples when you rock our babies in the nursery, and when you introduce our toddlers to the love of God, and when you teach our students the stories of our faith. On Wednesday nights, you teach our children about missions, and you give them opportunities to be missionaries themselves at a very young age. You open your church to an entire community each summer as we host Vacation Bible School and invite children and their families to be a part of the life of this church. You're here on Sunday nights, as our youth explore concepts of faith as they play out in their everyday world. You chaperone youth retreats and you lead Unidiversity Camp. You help our children from our littlest preschoolers through our high school seniors express their faith through music and song. Through all of these, you are making disciples. In high school, I went on a mission trip to Charleston, South Carolina. Among the memories of leading day camp and singing with the puppets in the square is a story that we were told by one of the summer missionaries we were working with. As a young teenager, my friends and I were out to make disciples of the children that we would work with that summer. Naively, we thought that we were going to introduce these children to God on Monday and baptize them by Saturday. Somehow, we thought that making disciples was a fairly quick process. And then B told us a story that has stuck with me even decades later. B said that we should imagine that everyone that we encounter is wearing a shirt with 50 buttons on it. And each time we show them the love of Christ or teach them a story of our faith, we push one of those buttons. In this case, pushing buttons is actually a good thing. She told us that every button that was pushed on someone's shirt brings them a step closer to calling our faith their own. She gently but encouragingly told us that rarely ever are we the ones that push that 50th button and get to see their faith come alive, but that every button before that 50th one was a step along the journey. Okay, so I admit it's a pretty cheesy illustration, but the point that she was making stuck with me. Every time you push one of those buttons on someone's shirt, you become part of their faith journey, part of their journey towards being a disciple. Every time you teach a Sunday school lesson, rock a baby in our nursery, chaperone a youth trip, you are becoming part of someone's faith journey. When you offer a smile to a tired family at the Siku house, or hug a kid at buddy break, or repair a home damaged in a flood, you are becoming part of someone's faith journey. You are making a disciple. Next week, our youth will become part of the faith journey for those whom they will meet. And our adult chaperones on the trip not only become part of the faith journey to the people of Red Springs and Lumberton, but also part of the faith journey of our youth. Every time you share your faith, your time, your smile, you are pushing one of those buttons, and you are becoming part of someone's faith journey. If it sounds like this is an advertisement to join Alan or me as we guide our Greystone youth and children on their faith journeys, it really wasn't intended as such, but now that I have your attention, we would love to have you. We always have room for more leaders in all that we do. Okay, advertisement over. Another part of my high school youth group experience involved a musical where we joined with several other area youth choirs. One of the songs that we sang as a part of that musical put my thoughts at that time into words. The song was titled, "I'd Rather Go to Africa," and told of a teenager who decided that he would rather God send him to Africa than to his own high school as a missionary. His point was that though Africa might be different, a different kind of life, perhaps with hardships not faced here in the U.S., it seemed less risky than sharing his faith closer to home where his reputation and his image might be at stake. Jesus commanded us to go and to make disciples. And it certainly isn't limited to the church-sponsored mission trips and volunteer opportunities. If making disciples is the primary goal, we should be striving for this everywhere we go and in all things we do. When's the last time that you shared your faith at work or at school or in your neighborhood? When's the last time you invited someone to come to church with you or sat and talked with someone about faith? Sharing your faith can certainly sound and perhaps feel a bit risky, but the reward is great. How great it is to share the gift of faith and God's love with someone else. There is no greater gift that you could give them. Jesus' words to his disciples didn't end here. He did not simply tell them to go and do. He also promised that he would not leave them alone in their efforts. The promise of the Holy Spirit is a very real, and is a promise not only to the 11 who were present, but to all who will accept it. Rest in the idea that each and every time you share your faith, you are not alone. The Holy Spirit is with you. And in addition to God's presence, we have each other. The 50 buttons on that imaginary t-shirt are not pushed all by the same person. Sometimes it takes 50 different people, each pushing one button, for someone to accept faith as their own. I read this week that the Great Commission is too great for anyone to accomplish alone and too important to not try to do together. So go. Push someone's buttons. Become part of their faith story. Both of your lives will be richer for it.
How might we respond? Let's stand as we make our commitments.
I, the Lord of sea and sky, I have heard my people cry, all who dwell in deepest sin. My hand will save. I who made the stars of night, I will make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send?
Said yes. They will leave this Wednesday to head to Red Bluff, Red Springs, Fair Bluff, Lumberton. They will do flood relief work, and you have called them, and they have said yes. So, Greystone, we come to a time of blessing and a time of communion, a time of commissioning, and that is always a time of prayer. So, will you pray with me? Great God, giver of all good gifts, we thank you for the gifts that are represented here, for the energy, willingness, and hope of using their very lives to increase your kingdom. We give you thanks. We thank you for these, your servants, who stand here today before your people, willing to share of themselves. We ask for your blessing upon them, to give them strength when the day is long, to offer to them patience when the task is tedious, to share in their joy when their work finds success, to to grant them grace when their plans fall apart. We pray that as they go, that you would cover them with your mercy, that you would encircle them with your steadfast love and hold them safe. We pray this day for your church. May all of our hands be strong enough to do the work before us. May our hearts be tender enough to respond, always with love. We pray that you would help us, O Lord, to see one another's gifts, to encourage one another in service. Bless these your servants, O Lord, and in blessing may we be found faithful. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who came among us as one who serves. It is in that holy name that we pray. Amen. After the worship service, I hope that you will come by and encourage these who you have called out to go and serve. Greystone, will you stand? The peace of Christ be with you. Greet those around you with the peace of Christ.
Peace, y'all.
Peace.
Please be seated for just a moment, folks. A time of mission, a sermon about times of transition, and indeed we're in the midst of all of it here at Greystone. Last month, your leadership council realized that as the church was in a time of transition, it might be good to have a representation from several of your teams to work along with our ministerial staff to guide us through, as we lovingly call, the interim before the interim time. And so a transition team was formed with two representatives from each, the personnel team, the finance team, and the diaconate. So representing you on these teams are Carl Dawson and Nell Panton, are Elaine Hansen and Bob Potter, Jennifer Walker, and myself. And we have had the privilege of meeting together, of meeting with the pastoral team that we already have here in place, and then working alongside Roger Nix, working with the Raleigh Baptist Association, and other resources through the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship. What I'm happy to tell you is that the pulpit already is being ably filled by our ministerial team and will be done that way through the 2nd of July. And then beginning the 9th of July through the remainder of the summer, we have ministers, wonderful, capable ministers, who will be working along with our worship leaders here so that worship will continue at Greystone until that interim does come to be among us for a while. So we are thankful for your prayers, for everyone saying we want to work together. And just this morning, heard a lovely testimony of someone who's a newer member of the church saying, it's just going so smoothly, and that feels wonderful. And so it's because of everyone coming together. But this is a way for you to understand from behind the scenes how we're working together during this very special time. We thank you for your prayers and for your offers of support, and we very much thank our existing ministerial team.
Let's stand.